She pressed her hand flat against the wall and shook her head to clear it. Then, glass in hand, she walked through the house, her footsteps hollow on the newly polished floors, surveying the work she'd done. Outside, the rain fell steadily, blurring the lights across the street. Nora remembered another night, the swirling snow. David had taken her by the elbow, helping her into her old green coat. A raggy thing now, but that she could not bring herself to discard it. The coat had fallen open around the fullness of her belly, and their eyes had met. He was so concerned, so serious, so charged with nervous excitement. In that moment, Nora felt she knew him as she knew herself. Yet everything had changed. David had changed. Evenings, when he sat beside her on the couch, browsing through his journals, he was no longer really there. In her former life, as a long-distance operator, Nora had touched the cool switches and metal buttons, listening for the distant ringing, the click of connection. "Hold, please," she'd said, and words echoed, were delayed. People spoke at once and then stopped, revealing the wild, static night that lay between them. Sometimes she had listened, the voices of people she would never meet spilling out their formal, heartfelt news of births or weddings, illnesses or deaths. She had felt the dark night of those distances and the power of her ability to make them disappear. But it was a power she had lost, at least now and where it mattered most. Sometimes, even after they had made love in the middle of the night and still lay together, heart beating against heart, she would look at David and feel her ears filling up with the dark, distant roar of the universe. It was after 8 o'clock. The world had softened at the edges. She went back to the kitchen and stood at the stove, picking at the dried pork. She ate one of the potatoes straight from the pan, smashing it into the drippings with her fork. The broccoli cheese dish had curdled and was beginning to dry. Nora tasted that, too. It burned her mouth, and she reached for her glass. Empty. She drank a glass of water standing at the sink, and then another, holding on to the edge of the counter because the world was so unsteady. "I'm drunk," she thought, surprised and mildly pleased with herself. She had never been drunk before, though Bree had once come home from a dance and thrown up all over the linoleum. Her punch had been spiked, she told their mother, but to Nora she had confessed it all. The bottle in a brown paper bag and her friends gathered in the bushes, their breath making sharp little clouds in the night. The telephone seemed a long way away. Walking, she felt strange, as if she were somehow floating just outside herself. She held on to the door jamb with one hand and dialed with the other, the receiver pressed between her shoulder and her ear. Bree answered on the first ring.
"I know it's you," she said. "Paul's fine. We read a book and had a bath, and now he's sound asleep."
"Oh, good. Yes, wonderful," Nora said.
She had intended to tell Bree about this shimmering world, but now it seemed too private somehow, a secret.
"How about you?"
Bree was saying.
"Are you okay?"
"I'm fine," Nora said. "David's not here yet, but I'm fine."
She hung up fast, poured herself another glass of wine, and stepped onto the porch, where she lifted her face to the sky. A light mist hung in the air. Now the wine seemed to move through her like heat or light, spreading out through her limbs to her fingertips and toes. When she turned, her body once again seemed to float for an instant, as if she were sliding out of herself.